We're double dipping this Sunday for Breaking Open the Word, folks. There's my reflection here, morphed with our virtue this coming week, as I've done the past four. But then there is a much better standalone homily on the full gospel for this Sunday by Father Jeff Harvey. So a link to his reflection is in the show notes below. So to be sure, check that out as well. So mine is a little shorter on the gospel that's for this Sunday, and then a reflection of it that leads into our Vincentian virtue this fifth week of Lent. So our gospel first is from the Gospel of John, chapter 12, verse 26. Whoever serves me must follow me, says the Lord. And where I am, there also my servant will be. Short and to the point. Okay, folks, we're going to start with a fun little game this morning. Okay, so put your party hats on and here we go. Up on the screen, you see a scale from 1 to 10. 1 being easy, 10 being really, really difficult. Now, thinking about the life of Jesus and what we know about him from sacred scripture, where would you place him on the scale? 1, 2, relatively easy life, or 9, 10, really difficult? Now, if you can't decide exactly where on the scale you're having problems, then let me give you a hint. Okay, yeah, I'm holding up a crucifix. Yeah, so let's put him at a 10, right? Of course. Okay, now, I know it's really not fair because of this, but let's take the cross out of it. Now, let's say everything about Jesus' life was the same, except he wasn't crucified, and let's say he just died of old age. Now, where would you place him on the scale? I mean, it would surely probably go down a little bit, but not much. You know, the more I thought about it and reflected upon it, and I read scripture in his life, I mean, from the very beginning, he was thrown out of towns. He was mocked and ridiculed in public. He was barred from groups and society in synagogues because of what he believed and taught and stood for. He was called names, spit upon, and on and on. He had no real place to call his home. So yeah, I think I'm going to move it to a 9. Okay, let's clear that. Looking at the same scale of 1 to 10, now, where would you place your life? In relation to where you put Jesus on the scale, where are you? Let me ask the question another way. As a Christian, as a disciple and follower of Jesus, would you say your life is challenging but relatively easy in terms of the spiritual path? Your day-to-day, month-to-month living and working and going to school and shopping and vacationing and having dinner with friends and working out. I mean, all of that life, how's that going for you? I mean, not bad, pretty good. Does your faith and your commitment to Jesus impact or challenge any of those things that your life is about? Is being a Christian and living your life today, you know, kind of not a big deal? You know, a 2 or 3 on that scale? Rather comfortable and easy experience? Now, the reason I'm asking you all that and thinking about it in my own life is because of this gospel today where Jesus tells us that those who follow me must live my life. Otherwise, you're not following him. that those who embrace their faith and live by God's word must reflect the life of Jesus himself. Right? I mean, that makes sense. So if Jesus is up on that scale at a 7, 8, or 9, then my question was, why am I a 2? Or let's scrap the whole thing. How about this basic question instead? If nobody knew anything about you and just watched and listened over the course of a day, you, would that person have any idea that you were a Christian? That you loved the Lord Jesus Christ as the center of your life? Yeah, the answer sometimes makes me feel a little queasy as well. Those who follow me must live my life. And I'm not saying we go out and make ourselves mocked and ridiculed in public or get thrown out of neighborhoods or be called names and spit upon. I'm not saying that, of course. Because let's be clear, the life of Jesus wasn't just that. I mean, he shared good times with friends, no doubt. You know, he had nice meals with good wine, I guess, together with people he loved and who loved him. He had parents who cradled him, loved him, etc. But all of those things were secondary to his only mission and desire, which was to serve his Father and bring about and witness and live the kingdom. A kingdom of forgiveness and beauty, of peace, of justice, harmony. But that kingdom back then, and even more so today, flies in the face of our culture and society. They're not the same thing, as we all know. Just get on social media and you'll find that out. One that says our culture today, get ahead at all costs, right? That proudly pursues revenge and retaliation against political opponents or those who have hurt us. A society, a culture that, you know, that says you're number one and idolizes consumption and on and on. Yeah. To stand for the kingdom in the midst of all of that, well, that's going to move you up that scale rather quickly. It's not going to be a 2 or a 3. You're going to be up in the realm of 7s or 8s. But brothers and sisters, that is what we are called to in Christ, to live the life that Jesus lived. You don't have to. You don't have to. But if you're going to continue to call yourself a Christian and live by your principles and faith, we have no choice. So, how is that possible, to live that kind of life as Jesus lived? I mean, we know from all of Scripture that Jesus had this fire burning within him that impelled his life, that gave it meaning. That's why I love the Daughters of Charity, our sister community. Their motto, their logo is, "The charity of Christ impels us." I love that. That fire of God's love within us, it burns, it impels us to live. That's what I want. I want that fire always to be consumed in those flames that burned within Jesus and enabled him to do what he did. And do you know what the spark is that made that fire within him happen? Well, it's the same spark for you and me. It's our virtue this week. Zeal. zeal. According to the dictionary, it's defined as great energy or enthusiasm in pursuit of a cause or objective. And in the spiritual life, zeal refers to kind of the same thing, that energy and fervor and enthusiasm for pursuing God and spiritual growth. That's it. Everything else that our life is about should be consumed in that fire of wanting to move and pursue God and our love for Him. That's the fire Jesus had in Him. In fact, St. Vincent de Paul often said, if love of God is the fire, then zeal is its flame. He said, let us beg God to enkindle in our hearts our desire to serve Him. Yes, and for St. Vincent, this zeal, it's fueled by recognizing Christ's presence in the suffering and the marginalized, especially the forgotten. When serving the poor, Vincentians are serving Jesus Himself. That's what gives the work this eternal significance, connecting the mundane things with the divine. And this virtue of zeal, it's an especially important one today because, you know, we can so easily become what Pope Francis calls elegant Catholics. I like the term, elegant Catholics, where we say our prayers, we go to Mass, we try to live the commandments, we follow the rules, and forget that all of that, it's not for me. It's about becoming Christ for others. That's what Pope Francis says. Well, that's what the Bible says. It's what Jesus came and lived and died for. You know, and it's easy to fall into the mentality that the spiritual life is something that exists, you know, between me and God. And then, if there's time, it's also a nice thing to be able to reach out and help others. God first, me second, and then others when there's time. Yeah, we know from our last few weeks of this journey on the road, that is not the right organization. Vincentian zeal is not merely enthusiasm or fervor, but it's grounded in compassion and driven by concrete acts of service for others. God, others, then moi, me. So, God Minute, let's live our Vincentian virtue of zeal this last week of Lent. Let's do as Jesus asked us in today's gospel and follow Him by intentionally, this week, living our life like His. Well, we should do that all weeks, of course, but on steroids, you know, steroids this week. I mean, don't you want that? I do. I want that same fire of Jesus burning in me that made Him do these incredible, bold things. I want to be like Jesus and stand for what I know to be true and right, even when it's unpopular or makes me uncomfortable. Right? I want others to look at me and hear me and know without question that I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. I want that fire of love and devotion so hot within me that it burns others who are around me. That's what I want this week, for me, for you too. So here's our homework. How do we stoke those flames within us? Here it is. In addition to our smooth stone, we're going to be placing with the others this week. And this week, of course, it's Zorro, zeal. There's another piece of homework that's really important. I want you to grab something else, not just the stone, and put it in your pocket or purse this week. And that thing I want you to grab and put, your toothbrush. I'm not kidding. I know it sounds ridiculous and a little nuts, but you know what? So does forgive each other 70s times seven times. You know what else sounds really ridiculous and nuts? Love your enemies. And on and on. So grab that toothbrush of yours. Now, if that just makes you nauseous and disgusted, then grab a spoon. Okay? Yeah, not a spoon? Then grab a candle. Okay? Or grab a salamander. Okay, I'm reaching now. But anything weird and bold, a toothbrush, and put it in your pocket. Not up here. That would be weird. But in your pocket. And then, anytime you feel it or touch it, and you will because it's going to be what it, then you stop at that moment and you say this prayer. Ignite in me my faith, O God. That's it. When you touch that toothbrush, when you feel it in your pocket, you pause for that moment and you offer that prayer to God. Ignite in me my faith, O God. Let me put into practice this very day, this very hour, your love in this world. Let's start some fires out there, folks. That's our fifth week of Lent. Our zeal is the virtue that will guide us. So again, thank you for joining me. Be sure and check out the other link for another homily from Father Jeff, a much better one. And may God's blessing be upon you, Father, Son, Spirit. Amen. We'll see you tomorrow.